Well, then we continue conversation with, of course, lovely Louise. We've got Chris. We've also got Christine. And we've also, of course, got Christina. I know. I knew she'd just... And, of course, the fantastic Mr. Dr. Mike Pierce. Can I just concentrate on Mike just for one tick? Because, obviously, those of you who weren't listening to the One Love Breakfast show going back, about 6 weeks ago, was it, Mike?
Yeah.
Obviously, you came into the studio and we had a great sort of conversation as well because you run something called the Southmead Project.
Yep.
So those of you who weren't listening to the One Love Breakfast show, you need to be put in the naughty boys corner and have your legs slapped severely, but also B, just give a brief overview of what the Southmead Project exactly does, sir.
Yeah. Okay, our main focus is working with people, providing support to them, those who were abused as children, and as a consequence of that trauma has gone on to misuse drugs, alcohol and the like in order to suppress the emotions that very often accompanies trauma. Self-harming in general could be cutting themselves or sadly sometimes trying to take their own lives. So there's lots of complex, if you like, things which go on in a person's life, that their identity shaped against a background very often of an abusive childhood. And Southmead Project helps them come to terms with that abuse and to become free from the burden and the onus which that abuse brings.
Super. And it's not just, obviously, it's not just restricted to children. I know I mentioned this question before, just in case people are wondering, you know, it's not just children, it's also adults as well, because although you have been perhaps abused in childhood, it doesn't come out until later on in life.
No, indeed. We learn how to actually mask things. As a child, we quickly learn how to survive. After all, that's what human beings try to do against adversity and so on.
Exactly.
We learn these kind of coping skills. But they're not always necessary later on, particularly if we can get some therapeutic and practical support with it. And things like yoga, which can supplement the talking therapies and so on. But once we become free from that, we can choose our own coping skills then, and with that emancipated life, and then move on in the way we want to go, not what somebody else dictated that we should go.
Yep, exactly. So, and as you obviously mentioned, and obviously with Chris and, of course, Louise in the studio as well, that yoga can become part of that because it doesn't actually involve any talking. It's more movement and, well, silence in a lot of cases. Tell me if I'm wrong, Chris, on that. Silence is quite a bit of the... getting that mindset, isn't it?
We work with silence, we work with sound as well. And you know, talking can be part of it, but it's not the main part. The way we understand talking therapies would be described them as assisted witness consciousness. So if you can't sit and see what's happening inside your own head and inside your own feelings, we get somebody on the outside to help us until we can, and then, like Mike says, you go on and live a life of freedom and emancipation from that place when you free yourself of all that clutter of conditioning, you know.
Exactly. So, yeah. I also know that we mentioned about the circle of harm, isn't it? Which is literally, explain the circle of harm to our listeners.
Years ago, when first in the Southmead area and working with clients from, say, Hartcliffe, the area is more deprived, if you like. Many people couldn't read, couldn't write, and all the rest of it, and couldn't put into words. After all, I was listening to people, and they weren't used to that. They were used to getting told what to do, or even being forced what to do. So I was thinking, right, how can we connect in some ways? And listening to what many people were saying about how their lives started off, the condition they were in, the environment was very, very, very unsafe, and very abusive often. And then looking at what happens after that, how they became kind of silent in school or quite aggressive in school, all these things, this abuse has been kind of trapped within their body and their minds and so on. And then that led to dysfunction in many ways, often violence. And then people may take drugs because they work amazingly well in order to stifle our minds and all the rest of it. But then we go on, when we continue using drugs, say, then we got a double whammy because we've become an addict. And so where we started off in life where we didn't have a chance at all, now we got a double whammy. We've been abused as a kid and we're also an addict and so on. And then we kind of have to do things to maintain our habit, if you like, and that might involve the criminal activity and all the rest of it. Then we get involved with the police and courts and so on. Then we may get some help with our drug problem, the presenting problem, as it is, as it were. But we don't know the actual underlying causal factors aren't addressed, and subsequently we go back into that cycle. Now that cycle can then extend if we have children of our own, where we cannot kind of emotionally attach to our children. Then they can actually pick up bad habits, whether we like it or not. That's how it goes. And so that cycle perpetuates. And it's that kind of cycle which SAPI Project addresses.
Superb. So we're going to find out a little bit how to get out of that cycle, how you can break out of that, and obviously to lead to hopefully recovery, or even if it's partial recovery, at least that's some positive result from obviously visiting the South Mead Project. After this little bit of music, and of course some news and some travel, because we are of course getting Bristol home.
There you go.